All around the earth, Christians gather tonight to celebrate the birth of our Savior. It's really nice that we can gather to be here, celebrate together. Now, we're going to look at the actual Christmas narrative in worship tomorrow morning. We're going to learn some very interesting facts. But tonight, we're just going to simply sip and savor one of the great, great passages in the Bible. It's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who was at the Father's side has made him known." The light shines in the darkness. My most recent vivid memory of darkness was last summer on a road outside of Mobile, Alabama. I was in town for the first time in a denominational meeting. My hotel was several miles outside of the city along the coast. Now, I don't have a good sense of direction in Severna Park, but I had the soothing voice of my GPS to get me back and forth. And each morning, it was a fun time, though. Each morning in the rush hour traffic coming in, I got the highlight was passing the USS Alabama on my left, a pristine World War II battle wagon. And late each afternoon, I passed again on my right on the way back, and I had a lot of fun taking that in. Well, one day, the discussions ran quite late, almost till 12 o'clock, as a matter of fact, midnight. And when I left the convention hall, for some reason, I could not get a GPS signal. Well, no matter. I'd driven the route several times. How hard could it be? I left the city, lights thinned out, quite quickly on the highway. Actually, it was pretty dark, no moon, light overcast. And as usual, I spent my time pondering three or four different things that I was working on and became, as usual, fairly oblivious to my surroundings. I noticed that when after some time I looked up and I saw a big sign with one word on it, Florida. That's when I knew I was in trouble. I wasn't in Florida yet, but I had chosen that route. Okay. Now, that stretch of the highway was surprisingly dark. I didn't know the area. I didn't know any people. I didn't know where I was. I didn't have a map. Why should I need a map? I have GPS. No signal. What I did know was that I didn't want to go to Florida. Okay. I was traveling along comfortably at 60 miles an hour, but lost, and speeding toward a place I did not want to go. It was a creepy, unwelcome feeling. I think that's what the word darkness brings to mind, being lost and alone, apprehensive and maybe scared. We see those feelings reflected on people's faces all the time. People who, regardless of the lighting conditions, are walking in the dark. Lots of people on news clips. The news specializes in zooming in on hurting people, homeless due to fire or flood or war, hopeless because they failed or been exposed. They all look lost, and most often alone. It's not just the news, just look at people as you pass them in the supermarket or in the mall, or glance, if you can, behind the wheel of people that are on the highway passing you by. Not many smiling, but a great many look apprehensive, uneasy, kind of lost, actually. The expression I'm thinking about is captured so well at the Vietnam War Memorial. That statue of three soldiers, I picture them stumbling back to base in the dark. Too often, life is walking in darkness. Drug addiction, which like locusts strip away everything of value. The rending of families through betrayal or neglect or conflict. That insidious brand of success and advancement that hollows out life of everything memorable and precious. And the deepest darkness of all, death. Darkness is especially painful during the holidays, isn't it? Darkness is a powerful Christmas theme because it emotionally summarizes why Jesus came. Isaiah described his generation as one that had no dawn. He said they'll pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry, and when they're hungry, they'll be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they'll look to the earth, but behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. These are images from the 8th century BC, and they describe a virtual, angry crowd enraged at political rulers. Is that contemporary or what? Isaiah traced our darkness to a disconnect with God, a defiant stance toward heaven that turns away from heaven completely to fix its gaze only on earth, an earth divorced from God, nothing but gloom, nothing but anguish, and with no way home. That night in Mobile, I did not know how to get home, but I did know one thing. I knew that I had to turn around. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. John, later called the Baptist, is famous for his message to turn around. The word repent just means turn around like you would on a highway. John's repentance was all about turning from a plunge into darkness, turn back toward God, turn our gaze toward heaven again. As I turned around on that highway and got going in the right general direction, I wondered still, how in the world was I going to find my way back without a GPS? I didn't know where I was. I saw signs, but I didn't know what they were referring to, where they were. But as soon as I started going back in the right direction, I saw a most remarkable sight. It was a light. It was a ridiculously bright light. I'd never seen anything like it on the left, on the coastline. Like 10 of those super dense spotlights, you know, the kind that go into the sky when a new store is opening up. Picture about 10 of those, but they're not going up. They're focused on something, and it's just kind of blaring out of brightness. I'd never seen anything so bright at night before. I could see it from miles and miles away, even though I couldn't see what it was. And then it dawned on me, it wasn't something on the ground. It was something in the water. It was a USS Alabama. Pride of the city. They lit it up every night, you know, as bright as they possibly could. Well, I just got off the highway. I abandoned any hope for my GPS or any of the road signs of places I didn't know, and I took whatever road it took to get me toward the Alabama. And eventually, with a silly smile on my face, I pulled up next to the grand old Lucky A. I noticed it twice a day, so I knew where I was then, and I got back without any other hitch. John the Baptist was the first to point to Christ. Turn around. Turn around and look. Look at him. He is our light in the darkness. A great many did not, of course. He was in the world. The world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. They refused to turn and really look at him. A little bit later in the book, we read that this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light. Darkness is being lost. It's being alone. But there is a certain appeal to being covered by darkness, a certain anonymity, the illusion that you're invisible, because no one's accountable when they're invisible. We choose darkness when we don't want our fears and failures to be visible. But others, and a great many others, did turn. They did look where John pointed. They looked at Jesus, and what they saw was the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That's what Christmas is all about, the true light. When this universe sprang into existence from the mind of God, he said, "Let there be light," as if light were the reason that creation exists. Creation exists to light up, to reveal the wonder of the Creator. Light became an image of salvation when God called Israel out of Egypt. During the plague that brought darkness over the whole land, only Israel lived in undisturbed light. And when God led them out, the presence of a pillar of light in the night went before them so they wouldn't get lost. The association of light with God's presence was further established in the first temple. Really, it was a tabernacle, a tent. No windows and tents. So the Holy of Holies was illuminated by a 7-segment lampstand. Light became associated with God's holiness, his purity, his goodness, and most of all, his presence. So that David, who loved the tabernacle, could sing, "Light, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord." And so it was that salvation became pictured as people lost in darkness finding life in the light of God's holy presence. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. For you've delivered my soul from death, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy dwelling. And so it was natural for the light to become the image of the promised Savior. When Isaiah prophesied, "They will look to the earth, but behold darkness and distress," his next words were, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." He spoke of light from a place called Galilee. And from 700 years away, he could see that light, just barely. "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." Light in our text is an image. The reality behind it is this, that to all who received him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. All mankind was meant to be God's family on this planet, living in harmony, harmony of mutual respect and love. But look at us. We've never been such a family to the Lord. Jesus came to bring us home, to make us God's family again, to make us all family again and forever. But salvation is not automatic. Light can be given to people who keep their eyes shut or who simply refuse to look. People who would rather maintain a severe stance toward heaven as if our misery were God's fault. Salvation requires turning our gaze and looking at Christ full on until you see what Isaiah saw, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And like the wise men traveling whatever road takes you toward the light until you're so close that Christ's brightness can reflect off your face. We're drawn to light at Christmas. Special, beautiful lights are everywhere. It's a season of light. We love to see those pinpoints of light reflected in the delighted eyes of our children. Christmas is about God gathering his lost children into his family so he can see the light of his son reflected in our eyes. People of all faith become children at Christmas, every land, every color, every dialect, not because of the toys, but because we all instinctively head home at Christmas. Even those who have no earthly family to define home, Christ brings us home together as family, like we are now, in the hope that one day we will all be home. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel, here picks up where John the Baptist left off. First in history, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus. Now in the Gospel, it's the Apostle John who points to Jesus. And that's the way it works. Everyone who finds the light becomes the next John the Baptist. Not in terms of wardrobe or menu, thankfully, but in the sense that we are now the ones who point toward the light of life, toward the one who can fill us with grace upon grace. This Christmas Eve, we find ourselves in a world as dark as it has ever been. A moonless, overcast dark. Disorienting flashes from explosions and garish neon just highlight our aloneness and confusion, provide no sense of direction. Only one light is constant on the horizon. Nothing else like it, really. You see it miles away. It shines across centuries. You just have to turn around and look at Jesus. So let me pick up where John the Baptist left off and where every generation before us left off and call out, turn around. Turn around and look. Look at Bethlehem. Look at Calvary. Look at the empty tomb. You will never see him unless you turn around and look. But when you do, you will find that no matter how far from God you are in darkness, he is the light that can get you home. We're going to close this evening service by singing Silent Night after some prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father, this Christmas Eve, I and many others remember when we first saw Jesus in our darkness. It was wonderful. This Christmas Eve, as we focus on the happiness of our children, we cherish the thought that no matter what path they take in years to come, they will know where to turn and they will know where to look should they ever find that they're lost. And this Christmas Eve, we rejoice to assume the role of John the Baptist in this generation. To our world, we confess that we're not the light. We cannot heal. We cannot change people's unhealthy attitudes or behavior or bring anybody to God, but we know the one who can. And so we will point to him. And this Christmas Eve, perhaps some of us will choose to stop a long journey to somewhere we really don't want to go. And tonight we choose to turn around and behold him as if it were the first time and take whatever road will draw us near to the light of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, most Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We sing for you.